I could be your grandma, Dave, let's face it. I'm seriously, I'm not, but I could be. I would have been a young grandma. I would have been a young mom, but I could be his grandma. I'm one of the older members of the staff at River Valley Church. I'm the pastor of leadership and discipleship and leadership at River Valley. My heart is to help people grow. And before I share this morning, I'm excited to share with you this morning. I want to just give a shout out to our lead pastor, Pastor Rob. I am honored to serve on this team and the team that he leads. He's an amazing leader, a very genuine, authentic man. I don't say that lightly. I don't pass out compliments without meaning them. 20 years ago this month, he and Becca took a huge step of faith and launched River Valley Church, and I'm so thankful for that because this church has changed my life over the last 10 years. You're here today because of their obedience, and I'm just thankful for that. I'm looking forward to more because I think the best is yet to come. Yep. We're just starting to kind of catch our stride. At 20, I didn't have life figured out. We're still figuring multi-site church out a little bit. I think we got some things dialed in now, so I just expect God to do more and greater things, and I'm so glad to be part of the team. I also want to acknowledge Pastor Zeus, who is in Milwaukee this weekend because he married someone very close to him. And so Zeus and Tasha and Eden are there. And I just want to tell you, I think this campus is in really good hands with Pastor Zeus. He is a young man with a heart after God. He's not perfect yet. I think you'll give him a lot of grace, but I know he's going to run this race faithfully. He's going to lead strong and lead well. And I'm just looking forward to the time when this campus goes from 2 to 3 services on a weekend, because there are more people still to reach in this area. And we're here to do that. You're part of that. In fact, that's what this whole message is about this weekend. So I'm excited. And this is my last Sunday with you guys here for a while. I'm being redeployed because I'm in the Army. I'll explain that in a minute. I'm being redeployed downtown to Minneapolis because they need some old people downtown to help them navigate what is going to be a really interesting time downtown. I'm excited. Hosting church in a bar. Yes, we are redeeming it. But it's a really cool space. Come down and visit us every once in a while, but I'll be down there to kind of be on the edges and help Pastor Kirk navigate what could be some challenging moments downtown. So please pray for us for wisdom, but we're going to change downtown with the help of God, okay, and your prayers. So are you ready to go this morning? You can applaud. I don't know what you're applauding. Yeah, that's cool. There's one thing. In the 10 years I've been here, there is one thing I know about River Valley. It's always changing. And that's because we're pursuing God, and he says he never changes. So if we're going to pursue God and he never changes, guess who gets to change? Us. There's no option to not change in the kingdom of God. Has that ever occurred to you? You don't get to do the same life over and over and over again. If you do, you're on the periphery, and I'm worried about your long-term staying power in the kingdom. And that was free, because I had just thought of that. Okay, here we go. We need an army of people. Anybody ready to sign up for the army? We're in the army now. Oh, no, I won't do that. Sorry. But God is looking for an army of people. Do you realize that when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to the army of God? Throughout the Bible, he's referred to as the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of an army. Have you realized we are living behind enemy lines here? The Bible in John 14, Jesus said, Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air here. We're living behind enemy lines. I don't know who said this, but I remember this quote and it just rang with me. So if you can find out who said it, let me know. It says, the incarnation was a daring raid behind enemy lines. We are fighting behind enemy lines. We are part of the army of God, here to do a job. Our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. Heaven and hell are in the balance, weighing in the balance. Eternity, people's eternity, are weighing in the balance of us being in the fight. So I don't know if you realized when you said yes to Jesus, you enlisted, but you did. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. I'm not a preacher like Pastor Rob is. He's more inspirational. I'm more challenging. But I do it with love. Is that okay? So I want you to know I love you all. I think you're an amazing group. But I'm going to kind of needle and meddle a little bit today. So sit back, Be comfortable. I'll let you out of here shortly. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women, okay, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." I want to start with this truth today. A lot of Christians think there's people in ministry and people in the marketplace. Baloney. We're all called into ministry. We're all enlisted in the army of God. We're all part of the people of God who are here to do work on the planet. Up until about 2.5 years ago, I was bivocational. I worked in the marketplace, but I had pastoral credentials. So you can't throw stones at me and say, "Oh, you're just a pastor." No, no, no. I get living out Christianity in the marketplace, in my neighborhood, with my friends. This is a full-time calling no matter where you are. Mom, marketplace, Target, football field, soccer field, baseball field, Caribou, Starbucks. I don't care. Boat, golf course. Yeah, you can even be a witness on the golf course. You can even be a witness on the boat. I hope you're a good witness on the boat. But we're all called into full-time ministry. We've all been called and appointed and anointed by God. It's not sacred versus secular. It doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It's all sacred when you say yes to Jesus. So this scripture talks about that. And I love when Paul writes to Timothy, and when God talks to us, he always starts with encouragement. Verse 1, Paul says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Isn't it cool that we get to serve with the God who gives us abundant grace, gives us abundant strength, gives us everything we need to do what he asks us to do? God never asks you to do something that he hasn't already equipped you to do. The devil might try to scare you and give you fear, but God has already given you everything he's asked you to do. So the strength doesn't come from the outside. The strength comes from the abundant grace on the inside that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. After all, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you are wall-to-wall temple of the Holy Spirit. God's address isn't here. God's address is you. He lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. Everything he's asked you to do, he's already given you the strength to do. So be strengthened in that grace. He encourages us. And then in verse 2, he talks about our responsibility. Paul says to Timothy, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul says to Timothy, look at the generations. Paul taught Timothy. Paul said, "Timothy, teach what I've taught you to people who will teach others also." This never ends. What you've already learned, somebody is waiting to be taught by you. I don't know anything. Yes, you do. You know as much as gotten you this far. Might not be a whole lot, but you know at least something. And God's looking for faithful men and women who will teach somebody else what they've taught. Maybe all you've learned is, "I need to go to church because I think it's good to go to church, and my life is turning around as I go to church." Maybe that's all you need to share. Maybe you learned something here. Like, you could raise a hand and surrender to God. Maybe you could learn something here by turning on different music in your car than something you've been listening to, because you feel better when you listen to Christian music. I'm meddling already. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to follow God here. Maybe you learn how to pray. Maybe you learn about water baptism. Maybe you learn about prioritizing God in your finances. Whatever it is that you've learned, you need to teach someone else what you've learned. That's what being in the army is. That's what we're looking for. We have a responsibility. Years ago, God gave me a phrase. It's this: someone is waiting on the other side of your obedience. For me, my grandmother was the one that shared the gospel with me when I was a little girl. I got saved at 9. Through my life and my journey with Jesus, there's been a lot of someones waiting on the other side of my obedience. But someone is waiting for you to obey God. Think of it this way. 20 years ago this month, Pastor Rob and Becca said yes because you were waiting on the other side of their obedience. Pastor Rob and Becca didn't know this campus was going to exist 20 years ago, but they said yes, and now because of their obedience, your lives have been impacted. They had no idea they were going to lead a church of 8 campuses here in the United States, 2 abroad, have over 7,000 people on a weekend, and impacting lives all over the world. They had no idea they were going to lead a church that supports over 200 missionaries all around the world. They had no idea when they said yes. But all of us were waiting on the other side of their obedience. Now, I don't know if you're going to be the next Rob Ketterling. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. But maybe the next Rob Ketterling is waiting on the other side of your obedience. Maybe that soccer mom whose marriage is hurting needs you to simply say, come to my life group. Come to my church. Maybe there's a coworker who you know is having trouble. Their life just isn't working right. Maybe they're fighting depression. Maybe they're fighting financial trouble. Maybe they're having trouble in their marriage. Maybe one of their kids is off the rail. Maybe one of their kids is sick, and they're waiting on the other side of your obedience to invite them to church so they can find hope in a difficult situation. Maybe, just maybe, God's waiting for you to obey so he can touch their lives. Will you obey? No matter how fearful you are, someone came up to me after church this morning and said, oh, I'm so glad you shared this. I'm leaving on the Swaziland trip tomorrow, and I don't even know why I'm going, but now I know someone is waiting on the other side of my obedience. I don't know where they are. I don't know if it's a kid in Swazi. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to go, and I know God's going to do something through me. You can be that person. Maybe it's going to Swazi. Maybe it isn't. But another story, I'm leading a trip to a Middle Eastern country next month, the Global Project trip to the Middle Eastern country next month. And when I was talking to people in my world about going with me, now, we're going to a Muslim country, right? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. I'm like, why not? Well, what if God calls me to go there? I'm like, well, would you rather live in obedience or in disobedience? What do you think is going to be more blessed, living in obedience or living in disobedience? See, verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier. We're a life-giving church. We like to preach positive things, and in a lot of ways, this is a positive message, but it's a kind of a challenging message. It's kind of like going to the doctor and getting a checkup and saying, you need to lose weight. I do. But, you know, you go to the doctor and you say, you got to lose weight, you got to start walking, you need to cut that out, you need to cut that out. That's a positive thing, because they're on your side, and that's what I'm sharing here this morning. You know, when we say yes to Jesus, there's a cost that's involved, just like saying yes as a soldier. And by the way, thank you to all the soldiers that have served, but there's a cost to serving in the Army or the Navy or the Marines. It's not always comfortable. In fact, the cost is represented by the cross on the wall. We remembered communion this morning. And in the song right before the communion, we sang about the rugged cross. We love to prettify the cross. We love to make it beautiful. I've got a little cross with some diamond chips in it. It shines in the lights, looks pretty. The cross isn't pretty. The cross was rough. It was heavy. It had a lot of splinters. More than anything, it had a lot of blood on it. Jesus says about the cross and the cost in Luke 9. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I just want to pause on that phrase, you must turn from your selfish ways. I don't know about you, but most of the time my biggest battle is with my selfishness. Well, it's my time. It's my agenda. Well, God, I was going to do that this day, and he says, no, I need you there. Well, God, Lindsay, you were pretty sharp with that person. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Yes, I do know what they did, but I'm talking to you. You need to go back and repent for being sharp and ask them to forgive you. Yeah, but you turn from your selfish ways, Lindsay. I don't know how your selfishness manifests. What I do know about selfishness is really easy on us, but it's really hard on everybody around us. Really hard. And Jesus is saying, following me is giving up your selfish ways, giving up your rights, and surrendering to his will. And that looks different in all of our lives. I'm not going to try to put anything on you, but I want you to listen. And I want you to pick up your cross and follow him. Because the cost of disobedience is immense. Immense. The funny thing about obedience and disobedience that I've learned in this journey is that disobedience never has a high price at the beginning. In fact, the price to disobey is pretty small in the beginning, and the rewards seem very high. But as time passes, the rewards diminish and the cost escalates. Do you follow me? Disobedience cost is low in the beginning and the rewards seem real high. Let me paint a picture, and I'm not sure why I'm going here. It's not in my notes, but I'm just going to say, when stress comes in our lives, because we all face stress, anxiety, fear, we have coping mechanisms that are ungodly, and they're really an act of disobedience. But that coping mechanism gives us a great reward right away, whether it's alcohol, or it's power, or it's money, or it's drugs, or whatever it is. We relieve the stress right away. But the cost of releasing that stress over time goes higher and the rewards diminish. You flip it around. Obedience, the cost is really high at the beginning to obey. I'll be honest with you. When God asks you to do something, when God asks that young lady to go to Swazi, there's a cost. But over time, that cost diminishes, and just the reward of obeying God goes through the roof. It takes faith to pay the high cost to see the reward later. It takes no faith to disobey. But boy, do you have a price to pay later when you come to disobey. I don't know where you're at, but I think God's wrestling with somebody in here. He's been talking to you about something. I plead with you. Obey now. Maybe the cost of disobedience is here. And that scares the living daylights out of you. But if you don't obey now, the cost is going to be there in the future. Please choose to obey. I'm going on. Going on in verse 4, it says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. See, the reason he reminds us of that is because the cost is high, and the entanglement of civilian pursuits looks great. You can have all the trinkets, but he doesn't tell you about the price. Pursue everything in this world that this world has, because it's really good. Remember when Satan came to Jesus? He said, hey, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all that stuff. That's the game he plays with all of us. Satan says, just follow me. Don't worry about obeying God. And I'll give you all the stuff. Jesus cautions us, don't get entangled in the civilian pursuits. Everything in this world is passing away. Listen to this. 1 John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you catch that? If anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to serve one and disobey the other. You can't love God and love the world. They're antithetical. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Pastor Rob tweeted last week, I love this, it caught my heart. It says, don't try and cram experiences into your life, and while doing so, miss out on what life is all about. Live for more. There's so much more than this world has to offer. And how do we maintain that? We change our perspective. We let God change our perspective. And verse 4 finishes off and says, a soldier's aim is to please the one who enlisted them. See, we live every day. If we're going to live this out, if we're going to obey God, we've got to keep our perspective on heaven and on eternity, on Jesus, not on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I love what Pastor Rob says about all of those. I'm not a big social media geek. All you young people, I'm still writing checks. Give me a break, right? But I love what Pastor Rob says. When you compare your everyday, day in and day out life to somebody else's Instagram post, you're missing out on everything. Because those are the highlights. Whoever puts the lowlights on Instagram? Nobody, right? It's all the highlights. It's like, oh, you know, it's the snapshots of the great days. That's what the devil tries to tease us with this life. It's a snapshot of the great days, but he forgets all the pain. Let's stick with God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when I was a sophomore in college, even though I got saved at 9, anybody that goes to school knows your belief system is always challenged when you go to college. And I went to the University of Minnesota. And as a sophomore, I came back to my hometown for a Christmas party. And some of my friends there who knew me in high school and knew I was passionate about Christianity and passionate about following Jesus then, we were sitting and talking. They said, so how's your walk? I said, my walk? Was I limping? And they kind of looked at one another and said, no, we're talking about your walk with Jesus. I'm like, boing. I went home that night and I knelt down on the floor by the bed in my bedroom in my parents' house. And I said, that night, God, I know you exist. And I know the day is going to come when I'm going to have to give account to you. I want to hear well done. So help me live this life focused on you, not on me. I'm still learning how to do that. Still have wrestles. I still have struggles. Still have challenges in life. There are things that my heart still likes to wander after. But God's so faithful. He brings us back home and says, Lindsay, I've got more for you. So I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're called into ministry. That's cool. Great. Obey God. called into a vocational ministry. You are called into ministry. Maybe you're called in the marketplace. Maybe you're called to have a Bible study with soccer moms or stay-at-home moms or working moms. Maybe you're called to have a life group with guys. By the way, John, Joe, would you stand up? Come on, guys. These guys are starting life groups, men. There's going to be a place for you. They're going to gather the men of this campus in community, in prayer, in fellowship, because they want an army here. They want to see the next generation fulfill all that God has for them. So catch one of them after and get enrolled in the life groups. That's what God's calling us to do. You know, I think too many of you have God in the little change pocket in your jean. And that's the smallest pocket. And that's what you give God access to. And I'm going to challenge you, open up the rest of the pockets of your life.
That's great.
Open up your entertainment pocket. Give it to God. Open up your housing and your car and your boat and your golf pocket. Open up your clothing pocket. Make Jesus Lord of it all. Every part of our lives belongs to Him. And that even comes to this thing called church. By the way, did you know that this is not the church? This is the place that the church meets. We're the church. God doesn't live here when we're not here. He doesn't sit here on the stage waiting for all of us to come back. You are the dwelling place of God. Where you go, God is. You drag Him wherever you go. It's really probably better to follow Him where He wants you to go, but some of us drag Him where we go. It's, you know, and so many people think about church kind of the way they think about football. They'd rather play fantasy football. Anybody play fantasy football in here? Huh? A few people. For the rest of you, fantasy football is all about just drafting players into your team and then seeing how many points they can score, and you play against another team who has different players and see how many points they win, and if you score, your fantasy football team scores more points than the other fantasy football team, you win. Hurrah! But what it does, it makes you feel like you're playing the game when you're really not playing the game at all. For some of you, God is knocking on your hearts about the next step, and it has to do with church right here. Some of you are just coming to church. You're playing fantasy church. You're a spectator. And you come and say, wow, great. You know what? That's not all that God has for you. He has more. He wants your heart every day. If maybe your next step, and this is what I'm going to wrap up talking about next steps. Maybe your next step as of today is to do to your devotions every day. Make time every day to read and pray and talk to God. You know, Dr. Leaf said last weekend, 7 minutes a day, 21 days in a row, creates a habit. Next 21 days reinforces that habit. The third 21 days, you're on your way. In 63 days, reading and praying can be part of your life that will totally transform your life. Maybe some of you, that's your next step. Maybe some of you, the next step is to get into that life group that Joe and John, or in sisterhood, or another life group that's launching here in the fall. Just get around other believers, because whoever you hang around is who you're going to be like. So if you struggle with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of other things, don't hang with people that struggle with that. Get around somebody else that doesn't struggle with that and learn how they're doing life. Get into a new community. Make some new friends. Change your perspective on life. Would you do that? Maybe some of you need to make church a weekly priority. As we were singing in worship this morning, I realized a lot of us think church is optional. Coming on Sunday morning, it's optional. Well, I'll do it if the lake is rough or it's rainy. Or I'll do it, I don't mean to pick on lake people, but this is lake country, right? I'll do it If I get home early enough Saturday night. I'll do it if I don't have to clean the house or mow the yard or whatever. Maybe your next step is to move church from optional to priority. And you build your week around coming to church every week and having a reset and just being at church. Maybe your church, maybe your next step, if you've been in a life group, maybe it's time to step up and lead a life group. Maybe someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience. Just because they're waiting for someone to open their doors and lead a life group. By the way, to be a life group leader, you don't have to be a know-it-all. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to host a conversation. We'll provide you with DVDs series. You can watch our weekend series. We provide you with questions around that. We'll do anything to help you be the person for someone who's waiting for you to obey God. Maybe it's time to no longer just be a spectator, but to be part of the life teams that serve and make this church such a great place to come on weekends. Maybe it's time to come, instead of looking for your friends, look for new people and welcome them in. Maybe it's time to be the parking lot attendant that we're going to need. Look at this room is probably half full this morning. By next weekend or the weekend after, everybody that's been gone all summer is going to be coming back, and we're going to need parking lot people out there to help people navigate in the parking lot. Would you be willing to come a half an hour early, stay a half an hour late? Could you give God one more hour a month? Maybe that's your next step. Maybe your next step is to be a greeter or an usher, or come early and make the coffee and sample the donuts before they put them out. And these are things people don't think about, but maybe your next step, because you're a little bit more reserved and more of an introvert, maybe your next step is to be back on the screens and moving the screens when the words come in and worship, so someone can sing a life-changing song. Maybe your next step, oh my gosh, maybe your next step is to be part of Go Kids. You know where I started in ministry? My first real role in ministry was cleaning the little boy's toilet in our children's area at the church I was attending. Not glamorous. I think most of you know, all of you boys know, what little boys do at 4, 5, and 6 in the bathroom. I discovered it cleaning that bathroom. God's looking for faithful people. I didn't start in a glamorous spot. But some little boy came back to a clean bathroom the following week. And some mom came with them and thought, they care about kids here. They never knew I cleaned, never knew my name. But through that, someone knew God cared about them and their family. What's your next step? Will you enlist in the army? Will you serve in the army? All I pray is you don't quit staying on the outside of the army. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good that you've done. Father, it's a whole lot more fun to listen to messages that make us feel good about where we are. This one's a little bit different. But I pray that everyone will hear your voice saying, I've got more. Come on, I've got more. There's more that I've got in store for you. There's more things for you to do. There's more that I want to do for you. And I pray that they'll all step up and be brave and bold and take their next step, Father God, so that we can reach those that aren't yet here that need to hear about the truth of Jesus Christ. So God, I pray that you would empower, strengthen, encourage, make everyone bold in this place, Father. In your matchless name we pray. Amen and amen.